Today we're going to be in Hebrews, so if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Hebrews. Today we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 12. Today we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3, Hebrews chapter 12, called the race of faith. Here's what it says. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we look to you, God, and we thank you, God, for the days you've provided us, for the lives that you've provided us, and for the health that you've provided us. God, the day we have today is because you blessed it with us, Lord. The life we have is because you blessed us with it, Lord. The finances we have, the homes we live in, the vehicles we drive, they're all from you, Lord, and we thank you for them. God, we thank you that we're able to assemble here in the United States of America to be able to come before your throne of grace and be able to worship you today. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just fill this room, Lord. And God, that we would feel your presence like never before as the message is taught today, Lord. God, I thank you for your time. I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I thank you for caring about every little detail in our life and all the big ones as well. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do, but thank you most for dying on the cross for our sins, so someday we can go to heaven and be with you if we know you as our Lord and Savior. Jesus, we love you today and we praise you, for it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, as you can see, I already took my jacket off. Today I have a tough message for you. This is a message of pain and suffering. But it's also a message of hope and freedom. My heart hurts. But more important than my heart hurting, God's heart hurts. Brother Thomas had prayed for our nation. You look at the nation we live in today. Do you think it's a nation that God is proud of? Over the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, our nation has continued to change, folks, and not for the better. It seems as if the influence of the Christians and of the church is falling, and it's failing at an alarming rate. If we don't stop what we're doing and start doing something new, who knows what our world could look like for the future of our children. The soul-searching question I have for you in the message today is this. Are you part of the solution to fixing the world, or are you part of the problem? Think about that, because you can only be part of one. You're either part of the solution, or you're part of the problem. Watch this short clip of different news clips I put together over the past few weeks. I'll show you what the state of Kansas looks like today.
Of homeowners in West Wichita wake up to find the tires on their cars flat. Police say a quick thinking neighbor found the suspect in his trunk and locked him in there until officers could show up.
Well, the damage was already done as the vandal went up and down Evergreen Street. That's near Mabel and Tyler, slashing tires. Owners tell Akeem Ashford they now face costly repair bills.
Here.
There's breaking news in West Wichita.
Roger, we're in that neighborhood here on the Smith Court. This is where Wichita police say a child was sexually assaulted. I want to show you that scene as we're seeing it. Wichita Police are asking for anyone who may have seen something suspicious in this area, which is near 13th and Sioux Boulevard, in the past few days, to call police. This after a report of a child sexually assaulted at a nearby apartment. The Wichita Police say around 2:40 Sunday morning, an unidentified person got into an apartment here in the 1400 block of Smith Court. Inside, police say a suspect sexually assaulted a little girl and then left. Police say an adult in the home was awakened by the child screaming and crying, and the child told the person, that adult, about what happened, and that's when that adult called 911.
Next tonight, hear a violent drive-by in an American suburb right during the evening commute. Drivers caught in the crossfire in broad daylight, and there are concerns tonight about crimes like this one on the rise. Here's ABC's Steve Olsen-Song.
A young couple driving this street in Kansas City, Missouri, had their dash camera rolling when the sedan in front of them came to a stop at this red light. Just before the light turns green, this SUV pulls up alongside the sedan, and then this happens. Now look again. Here's who they're trying to shoot. On the left hand of the cross street, there's a gray Dodge Charger. Two people are firing from that car, too. They were big guns, and the family in the sedan was caught in the crossfire. Witnesses say it was a young woman, and police say there were two children in the back seat. Amazingly, none of them were hurt in the Monday evening shooting.
KCATA cameras capture two men fighting on a 31 bus Saturday night. The man with his back to the window has a knife, which police say he used to stab a passenger during the fight. Young children watching it happen in front of them.
Oh my. Oh my.
Mary Brown seeing the video for the first time.
He didn't run over that way. He ran that way.
But the 74-year-old rider herself,
about right home over here,
was at 31st and Wayne watching it from the street.
I see the sirens and stuff, lights flashing going on. I had to come see what's going on in my area.
This past January, an elderly man used his hand to beat a man attacking a bus driver. KCATA says these incidents are few and safety is a priority.
It's kind of crazy how people is just so reckless and so, how can I say, ignorant when it comes to public safety.
Oh, it's safe on the bus, far as I'm concerned. As long as I got Jesus with me, I'm not worried about nobody.
Folks, this is the world we live in today. You might not like it. You might not have enjoyed that news clips that I put together, but that's the truth. That's what the world is becoming because the church is failing. Because we aren't doing what we need to do. We're not living for the Lord. This world that we live in today, you've seen destruction of property, senseless killing and robbery, sexual assault, drive-by shootings, fights and risking the lives of others. Now, it may not be a pretty picture, but all these things happened locally in the state of Kansas just over the last few weeks. And folks, it's not going to get any better unless the church gets serious about living for the Lord. You know what the problem we have is, as churches today, society, is this church of the 21st century looks too much like the world. God tells us we should live in the world, but not be of the world. Today's church lives in the world and is even conforming to the world. The church of today doesn't preach against the sins of the Bible, of gluttony and adultery and fornication and abortion, homosexuality and drunkenness and sex before marriage. And the list goes on and on and on. Oh no, the church of the 21st century even embraces these sins. Folks, we have churches. There's a church that has a bishop of a lesbian married couple in Denver, Colorado, a woman who is over 200 churches. We have a couple that had just got married, a homosexual couple in Washington, in the Baptist church, the American Baptist church, that are preaching, that are going against the word of God. Folks, we are to love the person, but we need to repent of our sin. This is a tough thing for me. Because what happens here is in the church of the 21st century is becoming more of a social club than a place that we need to come and worship God. People expect to come in. They hear a great praise band. They lift up their voices. They listen to an ear-tickling sermon about how God is full of love and mercy and grace and how beautiful heaven is going to be someday. But that's the half-truth. They're missing out on the other part of the truth that says you can't have forgiveness, mercy, or grace without the sacrifice. And the sacrifice I'm talking about is the sacrifice that Jesus made for us when he willingly laid down his life on that cross for our sins. You see, what they failed to tell you is there is no forgiveness without the sacrifice. There is no forgiveness without the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can't get to heaven unless we have a personal relationship and have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. The sugar-coated messages have to stop. The Christians claiming to love Christ but not living for him have to change. The churches conforming to the world instead of to the Bible have to change. We can't change the Bible. We need churches today and pastors and Sunday school teachers and teachers that are going to stand up and preach and teach and live the biblical truth. Today I have some biblical truth for you. I'm going to share it with you and you might not like it, but it has to be said. As I've been praying about this new building, as I've been praying about this wondrous new sanctuary that we hope to build someday, it's going to be a great thing. It's going to be a sanctuary that's flat. It's accessible to all people of all abilities and disabilities. Whether you come into church walking with 2 feet, whether you come in with a cane, whether you come in with a wheelchair or somebody rolls you in on a bed, you'll be able to worship God in our new sanctuary. And I give God all the praise for that. I'm excited about that. It's going to be a great place. It's going to be a wonderful place that we can serve God. But as I was praying about our sanctuary, I said, God, when are we going to build it? How do you want it to be built? What do you want it to look like? Show me, God, the people that are going to come in and get saved in there. Show me the lives that are going to be changed. Show me the people that are going to get married in that church. Lord, show me the children that are going to be born. As I was praying, I heard this very clearly. This church will not be built until we get the sin out of our life and out of our church. Now, I don't know each of the sins that are in our congregation or that the people in our congregation are struggling with today. But I do know that until we get the sin out of our life and out of our church, this won't be a building that is built. God can't bless us the way he wants to bless us if we're choosing to sin. Because Scripture says God just doesn't bless obedience. He doesn't bless disobedience. God blesses obedience, but he doesn't bless disobedience. As I was praying about this new sanctuary, it's not about the money. It's not about the time. It's not about the size of the people even. What it's about is us getting right before God where we're at right now. We have to get right with God. We got to be faithful to the Lord and Savior we claim to serve. And I'm talking both to Christians and people who don't know Christ yet. You see, there's too many, and one is too many. People coming to church, praising and worshiping God, lifting their arms up, but not repenting of their sin. There's too many people that want to come and want to get a blessing, want to receive something, but they don't want to get down and do business with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And until we take that out of our church, until we get that sin out of our life, we are not going to be blessed by God. You can raise all the money you want. You can pray all you want. I promise, this is a message from the Lord. He wants to get us right with him before anything else commences. We have to turn away from our sin and our temptation. We got to stop just claiming that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and start to live a life that's free of sin. You and I can't have both God and the world. Titus 1:16 puts it this way. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Folks, we got to get serious about our relationship with God. That's what the scripture is telling us. Listen to it again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. If you want to change the world today, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
If you want to live for Jesus, let me hear you say praise God.
Praise God.
If you want to see this new sanctuary built, let me hear you say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Church, the way we can accomplish these three things is simple. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then we need to follow this scripture in Hebrews 12:1-2. Throw off everything that hinders you. Everything. And the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. Folks, I don't know if you know it today, but you and I are walking around with chains. Chains that are hindering us. And sin that is entangling us. And you know what's sad is we're choosing to keep it there. Even though we know it's not right. We know what we're supposed to do. We know right from wrong. We know what God wants us to do. But we keep that sin, we keep that chain around our ankle, and we walk around with it. And it hurts us, and it hurts God. God says, why are you doing this? I died for your sin, so you don't have to carry that chain with you. Let me have it. We choose to keep it there. God didn't send his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so we can continue to live in sin. Folks, we're choosing to do something that hurts us. We're choosing to do something that stops us from running the race, that stops us from fixing our eyes upon Jesus, that stops us from building our new sanctuary, that stops us from living for the Lord. We're choosing to do these things. I know for a fact that our congregation, we struggle with some sin. And we're not repenting of it. We're not trying to change. We're not asking God for help. And you know what we're going to get by not doing these things? It's going to suck the Holy Spirit away from our church. It's going to take the blessings the Lord wants to give us away from us. Because we refuse to get right with God and have a real relationship with him. People in our church today are suffering with anger, attitude, bitterness, fornication, putting other gods before God, money, and those are just a few things. And I know this is a hard message, but this message is from the Lord. If you want to change the world, if you want to live for Jesus Christ, if you want to build a new sanctuary and dedicate it to our Lord and Savior, we got to stop making excuses for our sin, and we got to start making confessions to the Lord for our sin. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Would you close your eyes with me for a minute? Are you part of the solution? Or are you part of the problem? What is God revealing to you? What things are you doing in your life that you're not proud of? What sin or sins do you keep committing over and over again, pridefully, maybe even trying to stop on your own without God's help? I mean, what is God saying to you? We say we want to live for the Lord. We say we want a new sanctuary. But are we living our life in a way that's doing that? Go ahead and open your eyes. I want to tell you a story my Aunt Jen shared with me this week. There was once a man named George Thomas, pastor in a small New England town. One Easter Sunday morning, he came to the church carrying a rusty, bent old birdcage, and he set it up by the pulpit. Eyebrows were raised, and in response, the pastor began to speak. He said, "I was walking through town yesterday when I saw a young boy coming toward me with this bird cage. On the bottom of the cage, there were three little birds shivering with cold and fright. So I stopped the little boy and I asked him, 'What do you have there, son?' 'Just some old birds,' the little boy said. 'Well,' the pastor said, 'what are you going to do with them?' The little boy said, 'I'm going to take them home and I'm going to have some fun with them.' He said, 'I'm going to tease them. I'm going to pull their feathers out. I'm going to make them fight. I'm going to have a real good time.' The pastor said, 'But you'll get tired of those birds sooner or later. What will you do then?' The little boy said, 'Oh, I got some cats. They like birds. When I'm done torturing those little birds, I'm going to give them to the cats.' And so the pastor said for a moment, 'How much do you want for those birds, son?' 'Huh? Why, you don't want these birds, mister. They're just plain old field birds. They don't sing. They aren't even pretty. How much do you want for those birds, son?' The boy looked at the pastor as if he was crazy, and he said, 'How about $10? Pastor reached in his pocket, and he took out a $10 bill, put it in the boy's hand, and the boy ran in a flash. The pastor picked up that cage, and he gently carried it to the end of the alley, where there was a tree in a grassy spot. Setting the cage down, he opened the door, and he softly tapped the bars to get the birds out, setting them free. Well, that explained the rusted old bird cage on the pulpit. But then the pastor began to tell this story. One day, Satan and Jesus were having a conversation. Satan had just come from the Garden of Eden, and he was gloating and boasting. 'Yes, sir, I caught a world full of people down there. Set me a trap, used bait I knew they couldn't resist, and got them all.' 'What are you going to do with them?' Jesus asked. Satan replied, 'Oh, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to teach them how to marry and divorce each other, how to hate and abuse each other, how to drink and how to do drugs and how to curse. I'm going to teach them how to invent guns and bombs and kill each other. Man, I'm going to have fun.' And Jesus said, 'What will you do with them when you're done with them?' 'Oh, I'm going to kill them,' Satan said. 'Well, how much do you want for them?' Jesus asked. 'Oh, you don't want these people,' Satan said. 'They ain't no good. Why, they'll just take you and hate you and spit on you and curse you and even try to kill you. You don't want these people. How much do you want for these people?' Jesus asked. Satan looked at Jesus and sneered, 'I want all your blood, all your tears, and all your life.' Jesus said, 'Done.' And he paid the price when he died on the cross of Calvary. Church, God loves you. That's why he gave us this message today. He wants to free you from the chain. He wants to free you from the sins that you're bearing. He wants to free you from the pain that sin causes. He wants to replace that hurt that is in your heart and that hurt you caused other people's hearts. He wants to replace that with joy. You see, Satan wants you to believe that you can have Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you can live a life where you just continue to sin. But it's just not true. Satan wants to make you think no matter what you do, you're going to go to heaven someday. But that's not true either. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it to the full." Satan loves the direction the world is going. He loves to hinder the work of our new sanctuary being built. He would love to hinder or stop you from giving your life to the Lord today. He wants to destroy you. And maybe you're here today and you know what? You feel like he is destroying you. You don't have happiness or joy in your heart. You're doing terrible things. You're saying terrible things that you'd never said before. People are doing terrible things to you. And maybe you feel like there's just no way out. Well, there is a way out. And his name is Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you or convince you of anything else. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way for forgiveness. And there's only one way to salvation. And that's through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and me when he died on that cross of Calvary. John 14:6 says it like this: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." If you want life, if you want salvation, if you want forgiveness, you need Jesus. And you need to start living for him today. No more excuses. John 3:16 through 21 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Don't take a chance today and miss heaven. If you don't know Jesus, today is the day to make that decision. Listen as the verses continue. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved the darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Light and darkness don't exist together, church. We need to break the chains of the sins holding on to us today. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us throw everything off that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. As we close today, folks, today is the day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not our next service tonight. Today is the day that you and I need to throw everything off that hinders us from following our Lord and Savior. Jesus wants us to fix our eyes upon him and to run the race that he has marked out for us. All that unforgiveness, that bitterness, that anger, that attitude, that sexual immorality, that fear of sharing the gospel, that unconfessed sin will only weigh you down. Jesus wants to free you from all those burdens, from all that sin. He wants to heal our land. Jesus wants us to live for him. And you know what? He wants that new sanctuary more than we do. But you and I are the ones that make the decision. Your choice today is simple. Are you going to be part of the problem of why the world keeps becoming worse and worse and worse? Or are you going to start being the solution? Isn't it time that you be freed from those chains that you hold on to? We're going to close in prayer, and if anybody wants to come down today to the altars and put their chains down, repent of your sin, whatever it may be, and believe in your heart that God's going to help you with those things, God will take them away from you. He will help you. But you can't live your life carrying these chains and calling yourself a Christian at the same time. Are you in or are you out? You make the decision. But I can tell you, I'm going to go down here. I'm going to repent of the sin in my life. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to experience freedom. And I'm going to be able to sing the song with a happy heart and a joyful sound that my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has rescued me. Won't you come down and cast all those sins that ensnare you? Repent and pray to the Lord today. Proverbs 27:6 says this: faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Repent of your sins and get saved today. Come and get the freedom from Christ. Come and help us build our sanctuary. Come and give your life up and start living for the one who died for you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for the message today. God, it's been hard on my heart all week. We get so near-minded. Sometimes we miss the trees in the forest. Our church has been set on building this flat sanctuary for over a year now. I thank you, God, for giving me the answer why it's not built. Lord, help us, enable us to break the chain today, to pull it off of our ankle, to pull it off of our arm, and to give it to you, God. Help us to repent of our sin so that we can sing that song, My chains are gone. I've been set free. God, thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, I don't want to live another day with another chain around me. I want to give my entire life to you, Lord. Take every sin from me. Destroy it. Shatter it, Lord. Create a new me, God. One that's not fearful. One that's not scared. One that doesn't have anger or bitterness or any of those things in my heart, God. Take those chains today and destroy them, Lord. Use me so that I can serve you. If there's anybody else here that has some sin they need to repent of, if there's anybody here that's carrying a chain, and I know there is, or God wouldn't give me this message, come up here and repent. Give those chains to the Lord today. Break it off your ankle. Break it off your arm. Take it from around your neck. Give it to the Lord and get that freedom to live. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Not the world, not anybody else, but you, Lord. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just take these things from me, Lord. God, I pray that you would create in me a humble heart, Lord. God, that you would help me to be the man you always wanted me to be, God. Lord, just help every single chain, the ones that I realize and the ones I don't realize, to be taken, God. Lord, I am yours and you are mine, God. You died for my sins, Lord. God, let me sacrifice and give my life to you, Lord, every part of it, God. Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to fill our church. I want the new sanctuary. I want to live for you, God. I want all these things, God. Whatever chains are holding me back, Lord, destroy them, shatter them, God. They're yours today, Lord. God, I just want to think of you and how I can glorify and live for you, Lord. God, teach me to love my family the way that you love me, Lord. Teach me to serve the church the way you serve the church, Lord. Teach me to bless others and heal others and pray over others and do whatever else it is, God, that you want me to do, Lord. God, show me, Lord, as I continue to give my life to you, Lord. God, you are my Lord and Savior. This is your church, God. And we thank you, God, for the glory of worship. God, help every single person that's down here is praying, Lord. Help them as they lay down their pride, God. As they get right before you, Lord. God, as they stand before the throne someday, Lord, where you'll be able to say, well done, good and